Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And T-Bone, I'm BK. You got BK and Ferrario here on 101 ESPN, and we're happy to go out to the hotline where Katie Wu is on the line. She's joining us on BK and Ferrario, as she does each and every Monday. You can read her great work over at The Athletic and follow her on Twitter at Katie J. Wu. Katie, we appreciate the time as always. We're starting with the obvious here, which is a question about, have you ever consumed a beer, chugged it out of a catfish before? Is that something that you have done in your life?
Like the actual fish?
Yeah, the actual fish. Have you ever chugged a beer out of a catfish?
I'm not necessarily a good beer chugger.
Okay.
In general, and I think the catfish would really just kind of ruin the whole vibe for me. So I'm going to go no, but props to whoever has done that. That sounds interesting.
Apparently, this is a thing in Nashville. Yeah. We were unaware of this, but apparently they chug beers out of catfish.
Follow-up question, Katie. What would you chug a beer out of?
A shoe?
Don't say a can or a cup. That's not allowed.
So a funny story is my brother's best friend at an Oakland A's game was sitting next to someone who had a prosthetic leg.
Oh, my God, yes.
And they chugged a beer out of that.
Your brother did?
My brother and his friend.
There you go.
Did they look at the guy afterwards and say, we have a leg up on the competition?
Okay, that was well done.
Should have done that. But honestly, what immaculate vibes. Amazing, right?
It was. I would love to chug a beer out of a prosthetic leg. That would be awesome.
I'd try it.
Dream for
I'm
me,
much
you know?
More willing to try that than the catfish thing. The catfish thing just doesn't make sense to me. All right, Katie, let's talk a little bit about the St. Louis Cardinals, who had a good weekend overall in New York. Went 2 out of 3 yesterday, obviously disappointing finish, but played a good game nonetheless. We are now 1 month into the Cardinals regular season. What is the biggest thing that you have learned about this team, Katie?
That is insane that we are 1 month into the season. I feel like I blinked and we went from LA to Detroit. I think the biggest takeaway from this Cardinals team, and while I understand the organization, the players, the coaches don't want to reference last year, that's totally fine. As media and fans, last year was very important, so we're going to keep referencing it. It's completely different. And I wrote about this earlier last week, but everything about this Cardinals team is remarkably different from what we saw last year. And I know that there are going to be similarities on paper. You look at the record, it's better, but not by a lot from where this team was last April. But everything down to the style of games they're winning, the trends that they're displaying that should improve, the overall clubhouse camaraderie, it's a completely different ball club. And we talked about this at the beginning of the season. If the Cardinals went through April with, given who, the players they were missing and their brutal travel schedule, and finished with a 500 record, we would take that. So Cardinals, 2 games under .500, pretty close. I'm not at all suggesting that we should settle for 500, but all things considered, let's say they finish this Tigers series, they win it, and they're 500 heading into May. All of the trends that we're seeing in April suggest that this team can get better. Now it's just a matter of if they do or not, but I, at least, am encouraged by what I've seen from this Cardinals team over the last 4 weeks.
I think for me, Katie, and I thought this last year and it never happened, but this season it feels like I'm waiting to see a win streak string together. Not so much of picking up series wins, because I feel like it's important, but watching what the Phillies did after their slow start where they put 8 wins together, is that kind of what's missing from this Cardinals team right now, of them stringing a lot of games together?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, because it seems right now that we're riding, and Ollie Marmol said this, and so did Wilson Contreras, it can be easy to ride the roller coaster. And when you're winning 2 games, losing 2, win 1, lose 2, you're back and forth, up and down, that can be hard for fans to buy in. I think if this Cardinals team really wants to convince this fan base that this year will be different, a winning streak will help. Again, you look at the overall quality of games they're playing. The pitching, pretty good. The defense, excellent. The offense, not so hot, literally. But you really think that Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Gorman, Lars Dubar are going to continue to hit the way that they are? Their careers suggest otherwise. And I think, you know, once this offense gets clicking, this could be an overall competitive Cardinals team. Now, I don't want to write off the offense after 1 month. Don't get me wrong. It was not a good month for the bats. But I believe that Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt's careers grant them a little more leeway here. Let's see what this offense looks like in the next 2 weeks, and then maybe we can have a broader discussion. But we see the bats heat up. We see the Cardinals go on a win streak. I think you'll see fans start to buy a little bit more in to this current club.
They have 18 home runs as a team, Katie, which is tied for the fewest in all of Major League Baseball. Last year, they got like 46% of their runs off of home runs. This year, it's at like 26%. It's not been a big part of their offense, and unfortunately, it needs to be a bigger part. And that all goes back to the Goldie and Arenado point that you just made. Goldie has 2 home runs. Arenado has 1. I asked this of the guys earlier today. I want to get your thoughts on it as well. If I set the over-under at 25 home runs apiece for Goldie and Arenado this season, would you take the over or the under for those two right now?
Ooh, good question. I would take the under for Paul Goldschmidt, but not by much, and I would take the over for Arenado. I don't think that Arenado being on pace for, what, 6 home runs all year is feasible. That's not going to happen. Goldschmidt, I think, a little less than Nolan. Now, don't get me wrong. Both need to contribute with the long ball. You know, he can hit for power. He can spray the ball. But Nolan Arenado is your textbook pull power hitter, and that's missing in the heart of this lineup. I thought Wilson Contreras' at-bats have looked a lot better. You like see Lars Nootbaar coming around. But I think, you know, we're not saying anything bold here. This Cardinals offense doesn't go if Goldie and Nolan don't go. You'd certainly like to see more of that power from those guys.
Speaking of power, Katie, Sonny Gray has shown his power in the, what, 3 starts we've seen of him. They finally have that stopper at the front of their rotation. How much of a difference is that going to make for this team moving forward?
You know, it's funny. I had a conversation with a couple of the coaches after the day after Sonny's start against the Brewers, and I said, this is the first time that I've covered this team where they've had a true ace, it feels like. And at times, various players have stepped up and filled that role, but not like what we've seen Sonny do. Dating back to 2021, even 2020 before I was on the beat, it seemed like the Cardinals lacked that surefire number one guy that can go out there and set the tone for the whole ballgame. And that's exactly what Sonny Gray does. I was a fan of this signing when it happened. I remain very high on it for obvious reasons. I think he just commands that rotation, and in doing so, commands the whole game. You feel good when you look at the probables for a game and you see St. Louis Cardinals, Sonny Gray. And I think that's what's really been missing from this pitching staff is, when was the last time you looked at a probable starting pitching matchup and had 100% confidence that guy was going to give you a well-pitched ball game? That, to me, has been the difference Sonny Gray has made already in his very limited time in a Cardinals uniform. I think Cardinals fans should be pretty excited that they have him for the next 3 years.
Katie was our guest here on 101 ESPN. You can read her great work over at The Athletic and follow her on Twitter at Katie J. Wu. Katie, in this series against Detroit, the Cardinals' probable starters are Matz, Gibson, and Michaelis. You just said, when you see the name Sonny Gray listed as the starting pitcher for that day, you have a lot of confidence. When you see those 3 names listed as the starters going into this series, what is your level of confidence?
I think it varies. With Matz, after a couple of bummer starts, you'd like to see him get back into the quality start range, because we've seen what this Cardinals team can do when they're pitching at least 6 innings, or even Lance Lynn yesterday, you know, some quality innings. It doesn't have to be all the way at 6. I've actually thought Kyle Gibson has been really strong for this club. The ERA is a bit misleading because of his clunker against Miami, but I mean, he's had 4 quality starts in 5 outings, and I think he's done a really good job of limiting damage. Miles Michaelis, not the month he wanted, but you know he's going to go out there and give you length. Now, we can go back and forth on the importance of innings versus quality innings. I think if you see those 3 guys, Kyle Gibson especially, you feel like you have a chance to win that ballgame if the offense comes to life, but you'd like to see Steven Matz and Miles Michaelis take some steps ahead in May for sure.
With Steven Matz specifically, Katie, what do you think the What do you think the runway is for him? I'll ask it that way, in terms of trying to get this thing back on track, because it started out so great, and then over the last couple of starts, it's been really rough for Steven Matz, and it looks a lot like last year where the right-handed hitters are giving him trouble.
I think the leeway is still, or the runway is still pretty long, and that's because there really is virtually no help in AAA. Zach Thompson just got sent down to Memphis to be that sixth starter, the role that he was designated for at the start of the season. But he's going to take some time to build back up and get at length. Remember, the Cardinals used him as kind of a multi-inning reliever, so he's not quite on a starter schedule. I know there's been a couple of prospects in AAA. Sam Roberta has had a great month, but Steven Matz is being paid the money that he is to pitch as a starter. And right now, with the rest of the pitching staff overall doing really well, I think Matz has a little bit more runway than last year, especially because, you know, once/if these bats come around, we're probably not as hyper-focused on one out of five starters not being able to pretty much carry the weight the rest of the rotation has. But for a variety of reasons, especially being that there really isn't a more viable option in AAA, we'll see Steven Matz continuously throughout this rotation.
So, Katie, on the health side of thing for the Cardinals, it sounds like that there's some positive news on the Dylan Carlson. Any other news on the Middleton front?
I think Middleton has continued his throwing program. So, you know, forearm strains take a little time. Riley O'Brien also started his throwing program, but those guys are still a couple of weeks away. And that's really exciting to think about what this Cardinals bullpen can be once those two come back. We've talked a lot about the big three, which, by the way, I asked last week if there was a nickname, a cool nickname for those three yet.
Leave it up to me, Katie.
Laughed at. Yeah, and said no. And the best thing to come up with was the big three. Seriously?
Wait.
We could come up with. But obviously those guys at work, their work speaks for itself. I think Libby, he was so close, really just a couple of pitches away yesterday from breaking through, but I like what I'm seeing out of him in the bullpen. And Ryan Fernandez, kind of nasty. So that, when you look at those guys, and getting a Giovanni Gallegos confidence back up will be important because he's going to be a factor in those late innings as well. You add Middleton and O'Brien back in the mix, and you're suddenly looking at what could be, I think, one of the most underrated bullpens in baseball. So I can certainly see why fans are excited to see when Middleton/O'Brien return. Unfortunately, it's still going to be a couple of weeks, but at least they've started their throwing program, and ideally the Cardinals will be able to pinpoint sometime in the next month on when their possible return could be.
When Carlson returns, immediately the starting center fielder again? Yeah?
Good question, because Michael Cianni really does play an elite center field, and he's saved runs out there. I mean, and it's not to suggest that Carlson can't, but I think it would, to me, Michael Cianni profiles as the perfect defensive replacement. You know, he can come in, play great defense, get the bunt down when you need him to. If Cianni was hitting a little bit more, I think you'd have more of a competition, but I can see Ollie Marmol going through four outfielders in three spots, depending on matchups. And we'll see how Carlson looks. He had a great spring. It was really disappointing to see how that ended. I know everyone in the organization was really encouraged and proud of how Carlson came into spring. So I would expect to see him there, but maybe not as the everyday, like, continuous starting outfielder. I think maybe they could rotate some guys in. One thing for sure, though, they're going to keep Lars Nootbaar in the corners, so that center field rotation will likely be Carlson and Cianni, so we'll see how that goes from there.
And as a follow-up on that, the other injured guy that we need to ask about, have you heard anything on the new status of Tommy Edman? Is he at least progressing at this point?
Yes, Tommy Edman is progressing, but that is going to be a slow progression. We've heard that since spring. When the Cardinals said a couple of weeks, in my mind, I said, okay, a couple of months. And that has nothing to do with past history, but just the nature of Tommy's injury. I mean, he essentially has to rebuild his swing from scratch. Mathematically, that's going to take some time. And he's doing it, of course, from both sides. So Tommy Edman progressing, no setbacks, that's great. But this is not going to be something like Carlson, where he could take a couple of rounds of BP, do a couple of swing programs and be cleared for a rehab assignment. You're looking at an extensive rehab process for Tommy Edman as he essentially builds all of the strength back in his arm and then builds all of his swings, plural, back as well. So not much of an update there, but it's exciting to think about what this Cardinals outfield already could look at with Tommy Edman back. They certainly could use his on-base skills, but it looks like it's going to be a little bit longer for Tommy.
Katie Wu does fantastic work over at The Athletic. You can follow her on Twitter, @KatieJWu. You can always see her as well this summer on KMOV each and every Sunday. She's doing Sports Sunday at 10 o'clock on KMOV. She started that last night. Congratulations on that opportunity. We'll certainly be watching and we'll be listening every Monday here on BK and Ferrario. Thanks for the time, as always.
Thanks, guys. You are the best. I will talk to you next week.